First John chapter 3, verse 1. And this kind of goes along with that childlike faith. Let me just read it to you here. This is NIV version. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We are children of God. Do you realize how mind-boggling that is? We have a Father in heaven who has an inheritance for us. We are children. You see, we can't prove ourselves enough to him. Because my son Joshua, no matter what he does not change my love for him. He is my son. Nothing can change it. Now, he can pursue me, and he can pursue relationship with me, but does my love ever change? No, he is my son. We are children of God. Do you get that? This is crazy. This is like, whoa. This changes everything. Because when you think of a child, what do you think of? The difference between a child and an adult. Adult. You got things all together. Everything's all planned. I got my to-do list. I got my day planner. I've got all my tools. Okay, I think I got everything. Yep, tick, tick, tick. Okay, check it off. Good. Now, over here, child. I'm ready to go. Who's bringing me? Right? Who's bringing me? I've got nothing but, I got my father over here. Right? Complete provision. I'm completely protected. I'm completely provided for. Complete peace. I have no fear. I'm a child of an almighty God, so I have no fear. So I walk around knowing my inheritance, knowing my identity with my Father. So therefore, I have peace. Complete peace. No, and this isn't saying that the world's not going to have some troubles that come upon you. Absolutely not. But what's your rock? I'm a child. I'm a son. This is my father. I'm a daughter. This is my father. Yes. So, think of this childlike faith over here. Now over here, we've got some... And I'm just saying in a spiritual sense, yes, there's a time to be a father. I'm a father. And there's a time to provide. And there is a time to make sure that my family's protected, absolutely. But do I trust in my gifts? I'm still trusting in my father and his provision over me because I am a son. So this is where I started to stand when I was at the Christian school, coming back to my testimony. I started to stand over here. I've got everything taken care of. And you know what happens is I started to kind of step away from needing God. Hey, I got this memorized. I got this here. I got this thing down. I'm good. I got the answers. Uh-oh. You see where it's going, isn't it? And so it happened because I wasn't receiving the flow of the Spirit from the Lord. I was going on my own works, on my own mind, on my own strength. This became stale bread. My prayers became painful. What is going on? Yeah. And I started to ask the question, this was the real question, this was a tough question. What kind of a Christian would I be if I didn't get paid to do it? Ooh. Yowie. But that was a real question. And it was honest. And there came a time, as my family grew, that I had to leave the Christian school based on just economics, based on living in a resort community and wanting a home for my family and time. For a little while, I managed a ranch and I taught school at the same time. Talk about burning the candles at both ends. I would get up in the morning, I would go to the ranch, I would do chores, and get all my guys set up with all their stuff they needed to do. I would leave the ranch. I would go home. I would shower, put on my clothes, my teaching clothes. I would go to school. I would teach from about 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock because they made my schedule that way so that I could teach. So nice. Then I would go home, change back into my ranch clothes, go back and finish up all the work until 6 or 7 o'clock at night, come home, eat supper, and lay on the floor and sleep. Because I was exhausted. After doing that for a little while, I said, I just can't do it. And I had to drop the Christian school. And I just did. I said, I can't teach. My first priority is my family. I need time for them. And if we're going to stay here, I have to have some income. My income was needing more as my family grew. That's just how it was. You know how hard it was to give up the pillar of the community status for me? I kind of fell into the background. And I started to taste, what kind of a Christian would I be if I didn't get paid for it? This was a heart-wrenching time for me. But my faith was being stretched. My faith was becoming real. It wasn't just something I got paid for anymore. And guess what? Instead of having everything looking good over here now, my image, my strength, I was starting to say, you know, I need some help. And the Bible started to become chocolate. Sweet chocolate. And prayer times were just times of total receiving and just total provision, total peace, total joy. And I started to begin to see that when I relied on my own strength, it's horrible. But when I relied on the Lord's strength and relied on His provision and what He said I was instead of what other people said I was, there was a peace and there was a joy. And in Nehemiah, we know that our strength is in our joy. It was like a yoke had been pulled off me. I had like grew 2 inches, like started to breathe again. Oh. And so my journey has been from being a child to being this self-disciplined on my own strength, coming back to being a child. And it's been a journey. It's been such a journey. We are children. Let's look at another one. Let's look at some examples of children in Scripture. And these things, I was looking at some of these last night, and I was almost crying. I was just like, it's so beautiful. So beautiful. Let's go to the famous Mark chapter 10. This is where Jesus and the children are together. Let's just go there quick. Let's just read over it. Mark chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew, Mark. Mark 10. Verse 13. And I'm going to read a little on here because I think the story that comes right after it, it clicks right into this. The way I'm seeing it, the way just my mind is working here and the way the Spirit's been speaking to me. Look at here. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He was much displeased. He's like, what are you doing? He said to them, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Belongs to children, because we are sons and daughters. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, they will not enter. And he took the children into his arms and he put his hands on them and he blessed them. Ah, so good. Now let's read an adult. And actually this man, Jesus loved this man. And I can identify with this man a little bit. But let's see. This is the rich young man here. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Oh, there's a child. Ooh, right on his knees. Boom, right in front of him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. For no one is good except God alone. Well, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud, and honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all of these I have kept since I was a boy. See, Jesus just gave him the law, right? And what does the man say? I've done it. I've done all these things. On the outside, by the law, I am righteous. But Jesus gives him something further that takes him into, he's asking him to come into this sphere of being a child. And what does he ask him? Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And why is it? Why is it difficult? What is he standing on over here? He's standing on that he can provide for himself. He's got enough wealth to provide for himself. And he shields himself with his wealth. Instead of over here as a child, what do you shield yourself with? The presence of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, the blood of Jesus. I'm shielded by that. Now, was the wealth the bad guy? No. The bad guy was that he felt he was shielded by it, that he was protected by it. Yeah. So there we go. We have two instances right there of the children coming to Jesus, and then boom, an adult. Someone who said, I've got it taken care of. I won't take you to all these, but I want to give you some examples of seeing children, seeing sons and daughters of God. And you know, sometimes, like, you see some of these greats of the faith, and one moment, oh man, that's a son of the Father. And another moment, like, oh, what are you doing? Moses, what are you doing? Come on, don't do that. Oh. But it's okay. God keeps saying, you're still my son. I'll make it work. You're still my son. But think of Abraham. Let's go back to Abram. God comes to him and says, hey, we're going on a trip. Come with me. A child does what? Papa, you put out your finger, I'm grabbing on. Let's go. And that's what Joshua does with me. I love it. Absolutely love it. All I have to do is I stick out my finger and he knows. Whoosh, grabs on and he's coming with. Does he know where we're going? No, he has no idea. He's like, I don't care. Here we go. Sweet. Hopefully there's some tractors around or a truck or something. I want to see one. I love it. It just melts my heart. But think of Abram. Lord, where are you taking me? I can't tell you. Okay, I'm coming. Grab onto your finger. Here we go. Child of God. Wow. Child, a son. I look at David. Oh, this one. They had just gotten the ark back from the Philistines. They brought it back. And David and everyone, they're worshiping, they're celebrating. David basically strips down to a girdle, okay? I looked up what ephod was, and I was like, it's kind of like a girdle. And he's dancing with all of his might. Over here, oh, I got to keep my dignity, you know. I can't. But over here, I'm a child. I don't care. I'm dancing in front of my king. I'm dancing in front of my father, praise and worship. And I don't care what anybody thinks. All I care about is my father. And he danced with all his might. And Saul's daughter, when he came up, said, oh my, how dignified the king was today. And he said, I don't care. I'll dance all the more. Oh, what a child. What a son. He didn't care what people thought. He was a son, and he knew it. This is kind of a story of my daughters, where I've seen them dance inappropriately. But it wasn't. That was my view. We were at a memorial service for one of my cousins who passed away. And they played during the memorial service, I can only imagine. And my girls, they love to dance. loved to dance. And we were sitting in the very back, and they were kind of on the end, and they started to dance. Now think about what's going through my brain. We're at a memorial service. What are the circumstances of the day? And here are my girls dancing. But they're dancing in worship. And I tell them to sit down and to be quiet. Uh-oh. Where was I standing? What was my heart? Image, right? What do we look like if they're dancing? Well, what were their hearts? Their hearts were right. They were worshiping. It's beautiful. And as I close my eyes in frustration for telling them to sit down, and I put my hands over my face, I saw a vision of my cousin dancing. She had white linen on, and the smile on her face was one of complete peace. And she was dancing. Beautiful. Oh, man. So good. It's so good. Oh, okay. David dancing. What a son. Let's keep going. What about Mary and Martha? We know the story, right? Martha. Good service gal, right? Absolutely. Do we need people with the gift of service? Oh, we love you people. Oh my goodness. We love you. But at that time, Jesus wasn't asking for a meal. He was asking for daughters and sons. And Mary sits at his feet. I imagine her with her legs crossed, just sitting there. There's a daughter. Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen to be a daughter, to sit at my feet and to receive. Receive. Ah, so good. Another one. Oh, the poor widow at the coffer. We got all these rich, wealthy people dumping just scores of coins into the temple treasury. Oh, here's another bag. Oh, I got one more. And everyone's going, ah, you are so awesome. I love you. Money, money, cha-ching, 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 right? Everyone, they're like, yeah, I know. I give a lot. Yeah, I know. And then there's this poor widow. Comes in, two copper coins. No one notices her. But Jesus notices her, doesn't he? She puts that in. Oh, that's a daughter. Look at that woman. And the disciples are like, what are you looking at? Okay, yeah. That's a daughter. Look at her. Why is she a daughter? She knows she's completely provided for. This money means nothing. It doesn't say anything about my security. It says nothing about my security. And I can give it away. Because I am protected by my Father. No matter what my circumstances are in the world, I am protected by my Father. So rich. So good. Chocolate. Ah. Bite it off. Ah. And it reminds me of my daughter, Sienna. I love, we go to the store and she has a couple coins in her hand and she's like, ah, let's get this bicycle. And she's got, a couple. We're good, right? Right? I got the money, we're good. No concept, right? But yet she's just like, I'm totally provided for. It doesn't matter if I just have a few coins. I'm totally provided for. I love it. My children teach me something. I'm not going to put a time on it, but just all the time. They are. I learn so much from them. I need to stop being so grown up all the time, right? Just enjoy the Lord. And then let's go to Acts chapter 2. Mr. Schiltz last week talked on Acts a little bit, so I'd like to go into it a little bit. This is good stuff. So let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 2. And we're in, where are we starting? Verse 37. Excuse me. Okay. All right, where are we going here? So they've just received the Holy Spirit, all right? And we've just heard a great speech. And the people's hearts, whoa, have just been cut, okay? Sorry. They forget this thing's on. All right. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Did you hear what they just called them? I never even noticed that. Brothers. Oh. Brothers, what shall we do? Are they already brothers and sisters in Christ? I don't know. That's interesting. I never noticed that. "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, and for your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." And with many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. Everyone, oh, this is where the child part is. Everyone was filled with awe. You know, oh, child, everything's new, right? We took Joshua to the threshing bee yesterday, the first part of it. Whoa, tractors everywhere, horses, whoa. Just everything's like, yeah, what do we get to do? What do we get to do? Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. He's just so excited, just filled with awe, part of being a child. I lost myself. Here we go. And many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And all the believers were together, and they had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. Oh, lading the coffer, right? This stuff, I don't know what this stuff is. It's just, you know, it's just stuff. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily to those who were being saved. The Lord was adding. Did they have to strive? Did they have to convince? Did they have to somehow, I've got to come up with the best doctrine, the best theology, and I'm going to prove to you that this is it? No. What proves it? Joy. Peace. Love. That's proof. Don't believe what I say. Believe what I do. I think Jesus said more in what he did than in what he said. Just to see him with people. See how he interacted with people. The Samaritan woman. The woman caught in adultery. How he just interacted. It's just amazing. All I want to do is just see what he's doing. Oh, put that in my heart, Lord. Just let me be that. It's so powerful. So powerful. So the disciples share. Their confidence isn't what I can do or what I have. Their confidence is in their Father. And so I'm going to take you through something today. I hope you're open for it. But this is something that's really brought life to me and my family. Brought a ton of life. And I tend to sometimes want to maybe start walking over here like, I think I'm getting a little strong, I can do this. And it's kind of what I call striving. Performance mentality. If I perform, I get rewarded. If I perform, everyone will like me. But it's based off of man's thoughts of me, not the Father's thoughts of me. And so this verse in Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am the Lord." And if you read it in the NASB, it says, "Cease striving." In other versions, it says, let go. Relax, all right? Relax and be still and know that I'm the Lord. And so we've been doing this thing called soaking, and it's just a word. It's not a special word, but it's if you've ever, how do you make pickles, by the way? You know how to make a pickle? Small cucumber, throw it in some garlic and vinegar, and I've never made them, but I know they have to sit a while, right? And then eventually what happens? All that good, tasty stuff just soaks into that cucumber, and it's no longer a cucumber. It magically turns into a pickle. That's what I call a good soak, right? Well, this soak is different. This soak is in the Father's presence. I'm a cucumber, but I want to be a pickle. See what I'm saying? The more we soak in the presence of the Father, the more we become Him. And so what we do is we kind of posture ourselves in a position of receiving and just calling the Holy Spirit, calling Father God, calling Jesus, His presence into the room. And did you notice? Is that what the praise team is doing? Ah, good time to soak. But I encourage you to do this on your own because it is so life-bringing. It strips off all that over here. It just takes it off. You cannot be an adult spiritually and soak. You just receive, it just comes off of you. All the fears, all the anxieties, all the nasty stuff just falls off. And you start receiving everything that God has to give for you. So I'd like to practice that today. But before we do it, let's make it legal. Got to have a scripture verse. John chapter 15. Let's go check that out. And this is pretty girthy stuff here. This is a girthy chapter, but it's good. This is good stuff. This is chocolate with cherries on top. Okay, let's go to verse 4 and 5. Let's just check it out. Now, different versions have different words here. The NIV says, remain in me. The New King James Version says, abide. Okay? And I brought my dictionary here because I want to look it up for you. But it says, abide in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Because I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. See, it's not talking at all about what we can do under our own strength, is it? It's all about just remaining and being in him, abiding in him. And let's look up that word abide. I love this dictionary. I know it looks kind of gargantuan, but this is the dictionary I taught with at the Christian school, and I'm just going to give a plug for it. It's Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, and guess what's in here to define words? Scripture. You look up words, and there's scripture in there to help define words. Whoa. The definitions of our first American dictionary to get the meaning of words came from scripture. That's a good tidbit there. I like that morsel. Yum, yum. All right. Abide. Here's what Noah Webster came up with. Its root is in Arabic, by the way. Crazy stuff. Here we go. To be or exist. To continue. To dwell. To rest. To stand firm. Or to be stationary for any indefinite time. To be, to exist. Exist in Jesus. Be Jesus. Christian, little Christ. You represent Him in this, on this world. You represent Christ. Here He is. And He is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Abide in Him. So that's where this soaking kind of comes from. Be still and know. Abide in Him. And then also, just from Galatians, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, peace, and joy. That's what comes out of this, abiding. Now, I've done soaking in a tree stand. Believe it or not, I had a harness on. But I've done soaking in the car, not with my eyes closed. I've done soaking in a tractor. A lot of time in a tractor these days. There's times to do this. There's times just to say, Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. And we just posture ourselves to receive from you. I am your child. Sometimes when you close your eyes and you're just, the Lord's ministering to your spirit, he sometimes drops little nuggets into your mind. You'll see maybe a picture, maybe hear a word. Sometimes you'll remember an experience. But you can always know it's his voice when it brings edification, when it brings love. Remember, if you hear guilt, if you hear fear, you hear any of that, condemnation, that's the one who comes to destroy. And he can speak too, but not when you're a child in the presence of God. So make sure you're listening. And those are real treasures. I believe that's a piece of those treasures. You can grasp onto those and you can take those, because the treasures of heaven, they don't exist on the outside. They exist here. They're invisible. Inside, you can't see them, but the way they become visible, I guess, is through joy and through peace, and ultimately through love. It's impossible not to love when you're full of the Spirit. It's the way it works. So, very good. I just encourage you. I know sometimes you don't have a lot of time, but I've done times where I'm literally shaving and just, oh yeah, and just take a moment and pickle and soak. Just anything. And I'm serious. I'll be starting my day just not right, grumpy side of the bed, and I can just turn the switch right when I come to the knees of the Father and I say, take this day, Lord. And boom, that's it. The path has changed. So just encourage you, be a child and explore this child likeness part. I mean, it's so girthy. You could talk a year on this stuff. It's so good. Just keep going after it. So bless you. Keep you. Go. Bless people. Go get them. Amen.